Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. And with me, as usual, is Mr. Aldo Albina. How you doing today, man?
Doing all right.
So Mean Green headquarters moved locations and moved from there to here. And if you can't see what I'm saying, well, you need to subscribe to the Super Secret podcast that has video. Fun fact, there is no Super Secret podcast. So I moved. So you might be wondering, like, didn't you say that you were going to do a podcast? And like, yeah, I did. But then moving, as always, takes longer than you thought. No matter how much time you think moving is going to take, add like 20 to 200% to that time. And you moved also, right, Aldo?
Yeah, I moved at the beginning of May and still unpacking.
Yeah, there's always more stuff. I have another podcast. It's called Deranged Penguin Podcast. We talked about it a little bit on there. And I made this extended joke about the junk drawer that you have, that you're like, oh, I'll just throw this in there. That mm-hmm. junk drawer becomes a junk box, which becomes a junk storage bin, which may, if you do it wrong or right, becomes the junk trunk. And like, for example, I had stuff from like college in one of my cars, just in the trunk. It was just like a picture frame in there. So yeah, I don't know which box or which drawer is going to become the new junk drawer, but there are a lot of candidates. There are like three behind me, two in front of me, and despite my best efforts, at least one of them will become the junk drawer, the new one. I'm excited.
Yeah, how you feel?
Yeah, fun times, ladies and gentlemen. So let's talk a little Mean Green stuff. A lot of stuff has happened since we last spoke with each other in this cozy Mean Green podcast. Imagine a fire. I know it's summer, but imagine a fire because it's cozy. Or imagine we're like, I don't want to say let's imagine we're out at the pool because it seems like vaguely romantic, and I don't want to be romantic with any of you people that are listening to me right now. But we're chilling, much like you were chilling with the coaches on the coaches caravan. Did you get a chance to meet and greet?
I didn't have a chance. That was during the time that we were moving, so there was no way to make it out.
Yeah. So all reports and everything that is ever done in real life is reported live on the internet, no matter what it is. And such was the case with the coach's caravan. Unfortunately, Mean Green headquarters, Mean Green Nation headquarters, is in San Antonio, and this was, by all reports, including the athletic director himself, Mr. Ren Baker, the worst stop on the coach's caravan because there were the fewest number of attendees. And they were just all trying to power through it. It was the last one. They were thinking about canceling. They didn't get a whole lot of RSVPs. I was there. Me, the wife, and the kid. We were all there. And I felt like there was a little pressure on me to be entertaining and engaging. And leading up to it, I was even thinking, I was like, man, I hope I don't have to talk to anybody because I'm just really not feeling it this week. I've worked like 50 hours of overtime, it feels like. It was more like 20, but a lot of overtime. I was busy. I didn't really feel engaging. You know what I mean? I didn't really feel like joking. I didn't have any jokes. I looked at my joke bag. It was empty. But, you know, good time was had by all. Thanks to the kid. She's super cute. A lot of people can just go, oh, my God, look at the kids. So that takes up a surprising amount of conversation time. But everybody else said there was good. You got some good information. The coaches are pretty candid. Seth Luttrell was pretty candid. Even though his he was forthcoming in a here is my stock response kind of way. He was like, oh, you know, we had a tough season last season. We had, didn't have as much depth as we wanted. We're going to be good this year. We're going to throw the ball around. Our defense is going to be attacking, flying in there, blitzes, stunts, you name it, boy. Shakes head theatrically. He did that. I'm just reporting back to you live. So I feel good about it. I think everybody else felt good about it. A lot of other people got, you know, fun little insights into the coach's personality. I like Grant McGaslin. He seems like a cool dude. He seems like he doesn't like Arkansas State so much, the place he came from. And you know what? In my book, that's an A+. Because I also do not like Arkansas State too. Also. Very much. Also. Add some more alsos in there.
As well as.
Yeah. So, am I lying here? Is this what you saw on the internet? the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it lines up
That
pretty
tells a lot
well
of
with
truth.
what the Twitter has been saying.
Yeah, Twitter, gomingreen.com. Just side conversations here and there. Everybody says that the coaches caravan was a positive deal. It even got my wife pretty hyped up in for the women's basketball team, and she's not. She's like, when I sold her on it, I was like, we're gonna go to the coaches thing. She's like, ugh, I don't have anything to say to coaches. And then she met him. She's like, it makes me want to root for them next year. Like even like the women's basketball team, and I'm not really into women's basketball so much, but I want to watch them now. And I was like, you know what? That was exactly the idea. That was the whole point of it, to drum up interest. So there were like plans revealed, cool new facilities revealed. Are you excited about any of those? New construction.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited about the indoor practice facility for sure. It's definitely a big boy school.
You feel like you belong to a real school now?
Exactly, a football school.
I mean, like these things kind of always come, and I think the more cynical among us are kind of like, oh, they're just always asking us to open up our pocketbook and get a new stadium or something, or a new practice facility, a new locker room, or a new this, a new that, But yeah, that's the nature of the game, man. Like you always have to compete. Facilities, as long as we're not paying players directly, we gotta pay indirectly, right? You can't give the
Sure.
dude $50 million contract, so you can give him a nice shiny locker room. That's
Well,
kind of the idea.
and if you stick around long enough, these facilities need to get renovated. People are talking about, hey, we just built this locker room, but it's been, what, a decade since they got built. So they get worn down. If you're, especially if you're doing the bid, you have to renovate it over time. So people getting upset about having to redo things we just did, it's been a while.
Yeah, and so good. I'm glad we're doing that. I'm glad we're building new things. Like you said, it's been a decade. Decade is forever in big time college football. And we say that we're in big time college football. Here's another thing that has been kind of bothering me, and we all kind of talked about it on the super secret chat room Slack conversation. Was that a lot of people are expecting so much done by this athletic administration, and I don't want to sound, just because I shook the hand and the guy like laughed in my terrible jokes, like I'm just, uber supporting him. But
Oh,
I
you're
feel
being
like,
apologetic.
yeah, there you go. I feel like the dude is doing a good job. I mean, in my humble and not so humble opinion, I feel like what was required of this, of like the leadership of the athletic department, was a lot of people just doing smart adult things of running this organization. Putting some financial controls in, having a plan of marketing university, and not just kind of like, well, my cousin knows some things. I felt like we were really small time. I know a lot of people were like, well, you just don't understand what the situation was back in 1999 when we were. Okay, man. All right. We get it. That was a great story in 1999. It's 2017 now. It's time to update things, update your computers, as you said. And I feel like this administration, I don't want to call it administration because it reminds me of Donald Trump and politics and things. But this leadership group is doing a job that looks pretty solid to me from my point of view. How about you?
I mean, it hasn't been perfect, but they've been working on trying to, make amends with the fan base and trying to fix some of the fundamental issues that have been keeping the department and the athletic programs behind when compared to their peers. So, I mean, kudos to them for trying to get us back where we should have been 5 to 10 years ago, and it's going to take some time. It might be feeling a little slow, which I would love for a big turnaround in less than 1 year, but we got to be patient to see what happens.
Yeah, I've said this a lot of times. A lot of people like to compare us with, a lot of our own people, Mean Green people, like to compare us with UTSA because they're a startup, and they're like, I can't believe they're comparing themselves with North Texas. We've been around for 9 years. A lot of UTSA fans like to say, yeah, and look how much you guys suck because you're just very comparable with us. And I mean, you know, like you could say similar things about rice, right? Rice has been around a long time. I mean, I think one of the hardest things to do is to change cultures, is to like stop momentum and move it a different direction. A lot of people have been thinking about North Texas a certain way. Think about, again, how many people call us North Texas State. You know, they're like, well, it was North Texas State for a long time. Like, yeah, like 10 years in your life, all the way up until 1989. But for them, it sticks in their brain, right? So you have to change that. And it's really hard. It takes resources. Whereas a startup program, even like the FAU, the F underscore U's, they just have to start saying, hey, this is us. This is me. This is me. You just think of them as the new kids, right? And that's really it. It's easier to do than it is to, you know, change perception. So, yeah, to your point about Ren Baker and company having to change a lot of the perception. There's a lot of people that think that North Texas is one AA school. I'm like, well, it's actually called FCS now. And, you know, so you have to change all that. And there's a lot of super cynical people that have given a lot of money over the last 20 years that feel like they deserve more a lot quicker than they're getting it. And all that is understandable.
Yeah, it's for good reason. You know, you've been watching a program for year after year after year finish at or below, well below 500. You know, Dickey had that run of, what, four bowl games? And that was what doubled up our total bowl game appearances.
Yeah. And so, like, I know like more than a few people, more than a couple people that were around during that time, and they have really good feelings about it. Even if you just zoom out a little bit and you go like, that was really not super impressive. I mean, you know, you went in the conference, brand new conference against a lot of new teams, and you have kind of a losing record, and they're like, yes, but you have to understand that we sucked, and he did a great job. And yeah, like, he did. And, you know, again, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot to work through for these guys. And I think they're doing a good job. Like, really, all you have to do is start pointing in the right direction. And once you start pointing in the right direction, and you get a little momentum, eventually you'll be there. But you're like, oh, yeah, we're not there yet. Yeah.
And unfortunately for us, you know, we didn't take that momentum. And it was during a critical time of North Texas, you know, in terms of population. We grew huge as a school during that time, and we got a whole bunch of alumni coming out during that run, and we weren't able to take advantage of that momentum and get them to stick, at least for a few of them. I stuck around. So,
yeah,
you know, it's 13, 14, 15 years later, and it's like we're doing it all over again.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see how that'd be very frustrating. I think the mark of a North Texas fan, and this is something that you hope changes, is that you've been through a lot of losing seasons, right? Like, hey, right. Which set of losing seasons were yours? Like, well, you know, I was a Todd Dodge one. Like, whoa, man, I was a Dan McCarty one for the 3 years. You know, like, that's kind of the deal there.
Yeah. You can start comparing notes. Oh, you were at that Rice game where we lost by a point? Oh, when we lost Scott Hall? I was like, yeah, I was in the green shirt. Oh, yeah, I remember you.
All right, so I guess it's enough of kissing their asses, I guess. Is that what we're doing? I'm sure somebody's going to be like, I can't believe you call yourself some kind of analyst, but you just suck up to the administration. I was thinking about the other day, that line, and that just made me laugh. All right, so, you know, one of yours and everyone's criticisms of the previous leadership was the scheduling, right? We're like, look, come on, you're going to ask us for money for a new stadium. And you got it, and then one of the promises was that we'd get, you know, a better show. Not that we don't like Texas Southern, but like mix it in with somebody that we all know, you know, somebody that we don't have to break out the
color. Want to go see? Yeah,
exactly. And I think Ren Baker has made steps towards that. You know, like anybody. And ask anybody how difficult their job is, and they'll tell you that it's the most difficult job in the world, right? Nobody's going to tell you, like, actually, it's pretty easy. I don't do shit. So, you know, with that in mind, they say that scheduling is pretty hard. It's pretty difficult. And, you know, the changes made are a lot bit in the future, Texas Tech in like 2027 or something like that. And then like 2022, something. It's a long ways away. That was kind of exciting. We swapped out a couple Army games for Lamar in Houston. Houston is more exciting than Lamar. And then there's the Liberty game, which I feel was kind of like you have to take this to do that. And there are a lot of rumors going around about why things happen. People complaining about each of these moves. But I see that, again, talking about direction, the general direction is towards a better schedule. And I can appreciate that. Where do you stand on it? And do you have any conspiracy theories?
Well, yeah. Who's paying you? I mean, when you first see the moves of canceling Army and then all you see is Liberty show up, then you're like, what is going on? What are y'all doing? I thought we were going to improve. But I don't know why they rushed it or why they had to announce it or whatever. But, if it was all at once saying, here's Houston, we're taking away Army. Oh, by the way, we're going to have to add Liberty as well. I think that would have been eased the blow a little bit better because I like playing Army. They're a fun team to watch play, but I know that they mentioned that it's a hard place to get to, not just to travel and play, but to actually physically get to that place.
Yeah, when I was thinking about going up there, and then we're like, oh wait, we're gonna have a kid, maybe we shouldn't, and circumstances prevented me from making that trip. I was like, God, I'm gonna have to go like fly to New York City. And then make my way up, I think it was like an hour, to West Point, New York. It's not easy, if you have to manage the logistics of that, move in, what is it? What is the game day squad? It's not 100 people, but it's a lot of people. And that's pretty difficult, all the equipment, all the stuff. It's not an easy trip. And not only is that difficult, but like preparing for Army is difficult also. And, I think if you ask anybody, privately, hey coach, we're going to get a triple option team in here. One of the service academies, they're going to like hang their head a little bit and like, why can we not get somebody that's a little bit easier to prepare for? Just cause it takes so much effort. You have to say, all right, forget all the football that we've taught you. We'll say for the last 10 years and we're going to teach you how to defend something different. And just a whole different way of playing for a week. And then forget all of that. And then think about, your cover three zone. About route matching and things.
I mean, half of me is like, play. We should be able to play whomever. But then the other half is like, it makes sense from a coaching perspective that you're installing a new playbook your first year. And then all of a sudden for this whole week, hey, forget everything that you've learned. Let's switch it up. I understand people that complain and say we shouldn't be afraid to play anybody because other teams play them. I'm all right with Houston.
Well, I mean, yes, I agree. Like when you don't tell them that, you don't tell the players that, like, oh, this is gonna suck, guys. You talk amongst yourselves privately, you and your coaches, you're like, God, I hate preparing for this team. How are we going to get them ready? Because your job is to get them ready, right?
No matter what.
And the best way to get them ready is to say, like, hey, we're going to take them on. They're going to be tough. But whatever, any challenges, line up anybody in front of us, anytime, any place, we'll take anybody on. Because you need that attitude. That's the attitude that you're going to, portray. But you don't have to go out and give yourself the absolute toughest schedule. You don't have to do that. You can build in. Sure. And so, again, was it a good deal when it was signed? Yeah. Is it the best deal that we can get? I say no. And I think that's kind of where Ren Baker and company are leaning towards. They're like, maybe we get a Houston in here, sometime. That's better. I would like to play Houston. They came down here and we went over there in the opening years of Apogee. I think it was Mean Green Stadium at the time. That was fun. I had a good time with that, even though they beat us. But it was cool seeing Case Keenum in here and seeing all those damn Cougar fans in Denton. It wasn't so cool going to Houston and losing, but that is a more fun trip and a more, I think we also have to focus locally. Like, where can we get to in Texas or just easily, get into? New York's fun, but it's expensive. And West Point is not really New York City. And so only, I mean, you're just basically filtering out a set of fans that can travel out there. But yeah, overall, I think that's part of the general direction of positivity. Things are moving in the right direction, you guys. I'm not super excited about Lamar. Doesn't move the needle for me.
Lamar.
Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you. Like, I like the budding Army rivalry. But, I mean, you could say, you know what? We played them twice in 1 year. So that we used up a little of that, flavor there.
It'll be three times in a year, I think.
It's just outside of a year, I think, because we play them in November. Yeah. But, yeah, it is going to be like that. You're going to be like, God, I'm tired of playing this team already. You know what I mean? Let's get somebody new. And so if you're like, oh, I can't believe we lose a game against Army. Well, you got an extra one when we played them in a bowl game. And you never know, we might get them again in some other bowl game in the future. So there you go. And speaking of playing an option-based team, I'd like to play them in a bowl game. You know, that would be fine.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, let's not drop it in the middle of the season. So moving on. Past the scheduling, past the coach's caravan, past the construction stuff, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. Last podcast, actually, we got the recruiting guy, Billy Sierra, got on here and gave all his take. That seems like so long ago, but I'm like, oh, dang, it was. It was in February. So some things have happened. One of the, like, rumors are like, oh, he's being really candid with all this information, was that, hey, I think we're going to get some guys, some linemen to get in there, and we should be all right. It's been a big concern. It's a concern last year. It's a concern this year. We've lost some guys. We lost two seniors, two starters. We're like, what's going to happen? The recruiting class was focused mostly on the line, and so we're like, okay, what's going to happen? What are we going to get? I think we got a JUCO dude, right? Transfer from somewhere.
Yeah, was it Mose?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about like immediately after the coach's caravan thing, they announced the guy.
Okay, was it Dazion or Cole Brown?
You know what? I forgot. I literally forgot. How do you feel about this whole thing? We lost a couple of commits here. We're not really doing that great. That's mostly what I get to. I don't want to necessarily get to specifics unless you have specifics. Yeah, same thing as always. We're not doing that great. How do you feel about the recruiting class now in June? The big story was that, hey, we're not really looking for stars. We're looking for guys that fit. Do you still buy that?
I mean, it's the same story. It's been the same story since I've been paying attention to North Texas football. And I think it's not about the people that we're signing. It's not what I have a problem with. It's the people that we're losing out on to other schools. Schools that we should be competing head-to-head with. UTSA, Texas State, guys like that.
I think some of that, speaking of conspiracy theorists, some of the people are like, well, I think you're right about this. Is it the Mose guy? I think you might be right about him. A couple of guys are like, well, that's because they're cheating. You know, UTSA is cheating. They're getting all these. I mean, I don't know. I think there's some element of, I don't want to say cheating. I don't want to say, oh, I saw somebody compare like UTSA to Baylor. And I think maybe you can make that if you're just talking amongst your friends. But if you can post on the internet, that's kind of a little bit more serious accusation. You know, even though the internet still feels like you're just sitting around, it's all inconsequential. I mean, it's not really, you know, a lot of people screenshot these things. I guess I don't
think that's the case at all. And I think it's unfair to UTSA to say, oh, they must be doing good because they're not going by the book. I mean, yeah, they got that coach who got in a little bit of trouble in, Alabama, but you know, that doesn't define the team. They're just, out recruiting us, and that's just it.
Yeah, I mean, yep. You know, like, again, we're talking about the administration, the athletic department, and you're kind of pointing teams in the right direction. I think UTSA has had a direction, like, hey, we're new, come join us, be a part of something. That's like been their story. And, you know, I don't know exactly what Frank Wilson is selling, what he's saying to these kids. But I know that's maybe where I'd start. Hey, be a part of something here, you know? And sure. Yeah, again, it's harder to say that about North Texas. Like, hey, come be a part of something. But it doesn't sound as great. It's like, hey, we're the team of South Texas, right? More or less. And then this other one is like, well, we're the team of North Texas. I know SMU's here, but forget them. And I know maybe, you know, your dad and everybody else is wearing an OU shirt, but forget them. And I know that TCU's here and then the Big 12, but forget them. And I know that the, you know, Texas OU game is in October, you know, right when we schedule a home game at that time, and that's weird. But forget that. And I know Alabama opens their season here in North Texas, but forget that too. And you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things.
A&M Arkansas game. Yeah, Texas has to compete a lot all the time, and it's hard to get folks, not just recruits, but just people in general to come out.
Yeah, and down here, I can speak from experience. You have high school football, and Texas A&M. And most of the Texas A&M fans here in San Antonio, you know, greater metropolitan area of about, you know, 2.2 million, are not grads of those two universities. They don't go to those games. I know, I've been like, I'm like, hey, have you been to a UT game? They're like, nah, I'm just a big fan though. You know, like, I like Texas. And so then you see they kind of transferred a lot of that to UTSA, and that makes sense because it says San Antonio on the shirt, right? You're like, yeah, it's ours, right? I saw some old dude, and I know he had no affiliation to it. I was on the south side of San Antonio at the mall because I like to risk my life occasionally. Gives me thrills. I'm kidding. I used to live around that. I was down there, and then just some old dude. He was like, hey, do you know the score of the game? And I was like, what game are you talking about, dude? There's a lot of games. And he was like, the UTSA game. And, you know, so I told him. But that's the kind of thing that it's easy to build. You're like, it's San Antonio. University of North Texas doesn't really have that built-in advantage. Even though we can say North Texas, it's not built-in. And it's something else to overcome. And so I think we all should consider that when we're grading on Seth Luttrell and his story. It's not so easy. And Seth Luttrell is not... I'm going to go ahead and say it. He's not the most charismatic guy that ever been was.
How dare you?
I mean, but, you know, as I'm saying, it's fine. I kind of asked him a little bit in a roundabout way, something like along those lines, like how to... I was telling the story. I was like, you know what? One of these dudes comes into the office, and this is how I feel like I'm old now. It's like, I don't understand him. I don't know how to talk to him. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this kid is just, like, so young. Mm-hmm. And he's only, like, 5 years younger than me, 6 years maybe. And then I'm like, how do you do it? Because you're, like, ancient now, right? And then you're talking to these, like, 18-year-old kids. And, you know, he's kind of laughing. He's like, well, you know, you build a relationship where you can. And if you can, that's where you rely on your staff. And that is smart. I mean, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people to manage. You can't know everybody. You can't build a relationship with everybody. Even though you try to. You rely on your staff. So, you know, obviously, you don't necessarily... You know, everybody has to bring whatever they bring to the table. And hopefully it all fits together to a winning team. And, you know, if Seth Luttrell's not the recruiting guy, if he's not the guy that's going to build these kinds of relationships, we need a guy that can. For you to say it's Frank Wilson, and that's fine. So who is that for us? I don't really know. We all have our favorites.
I feel like LeBlanc is showing up. Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, you're building a winning team, and it's pretty evident that, you know, Frank Wilson is that recruiting guy, like you were saying. But, you know, it's too early to say who's the X's and O's guy. And if Luttrell's able to be that X's and O's guy, winning with quote-unquote inferior talent, not as a knock, but if he's able to win that, then that makes recruiting a lot easier. So he has to prove that he can win with this team. And if he can't, then that's going to be the death knell.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's it. Is that, like, you have to, at some point, it all comes down to the same thing. Frank Wilson can sell whatever he wants, but then he has to point to some W's before, you know, it doesn't mean anything anymore. That was what happened with Larry Coker. Guy had to, he's like, we're coming over here and build something. And then, you know, they had their first recruiting class that didn't actually play. They just scrimmaged every weekend. And, you know, he had to find guys that were willing to do that. And then they won a little bit. And then they got more people in. They're like, hey, look, they're, you know, you have the crazies that are like, yeah, I'll go forego a season of my career. You know, I could probably start in JUCO or something like that, or go play at a, you know, lower division school. But no, I'm going to go here because I want to play Division I ball and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. You have to be able to convince a set of people to come in and then deliver on it. And then if you don't, then you get fired, right? I think North Texas did that. Went to a bowl game, did some things. What they didn't do was kind of win the way they wanted to win. You know, I think if you look back at, like, say, I mean, what, like the Warriors, right? They captured the hearts of everybody by winning with the style. You know, Seth Curry shooting from 80 million yards out. You know, the 7 seconds or less Suns in the early 2000s, they won with a style. Me, I'm a San Antonio Spurs fan, right? And I know we won in the 2000s. Not a lot of people were super excited about our style. So winning doesn't always bring fans. You know, they're like, oh, they're so boring. Spurs are so boring. They just throw the damn nugget. He's so boring. Everybody's so boring. I mean, there's that risk, too. We got 5 wins last season, but on what? You know what I mean? Like, could you, right. You and I know like what the offense was supposed to be, but then you even have beat guys saying, well, you know, it's not even air raid, they're actually running, like, dude, what? They're running air raid plays, or at least they're trying to, but they're running the ball, you know, just that's a function of the talent and things.
Well, yeah,
you can see ahead. How that, like, you know, we're doing these advertisements and saying, like, we're gonna throw the ball around, it's gonna be wide open, and then you got people that presumably follow the team, you know, and watch all the games, and they're like, maybe it's not air raid. You know, that's not good for branding. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's not how it works. No, but I understand. You know, you try to tell them, hey, this is an air raid team, and they say, well, we threw it as many times as we did last year, and you're like, oh, well, true, and I guess this conversation's over.
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, we just have to find the right talent. And we were playing with a talent that had only been there,
yeah,
a few months. You know, all the guys that were catching passes, most of them had only been there a few months.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, like from Thaddeus out there, he was like the 7th option on the previous year's team. He was a bit disgruntled with like the promises made and then the actual, you know, reality of the situation, and then he had a decent season. You're like, wow, that was a pretty good season. Then you look at it and you're like, wow, he didn't really catch a whole lot of passes. He was targeted a lot, but it was not a lot of passes. So what am I getting at? I'm getting at that I think we're in decent hands, because that's a really hard job. It was really hard to get to squeeze 5 wins from a rock, you know, that whole water from a rock. Is it blood from a rock? What is the phrase? I'm butchering it right now.
Yeah. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. I need to call some of my friends, I mean, like English majors.
It's
I feel like if you're an English major, all you do is just like study metaphors, that, like those ones that everybody knows. You're like, you're not using that right. And then I guess that earns you a salary or something. I don't know. I don't know how things work.
But like I was saying, you know, the team kind of ran like a high school team where you gave the best guy the ball every single time, either through the air or on the ground. Or I'm surprised they didn't have Jeffrey Wilson passing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That was my big complaint the previous season when you know, Chico was out there on his second temp job. You know, like I was like, look, our offense, we can't throw the ball. We just basically need to run it, and our second option would be run it with the other guy, and our third option should be see if you could still run it, and if not, throw the ball on the easiest pass that you can to a guy that probably can run after catch. And the one game where we did some of that, we won. That was the one game we won. Everything else is awful. So, I mean, look, I know I've been, I just, in the last, what, 5 to 10 minutes, I've just said, it's really hard to win in North Texas. And North Texas is, well, I said a lot of bad things about our school. Now, let me just say that I said all that to illustrate the point that Seth Luttrell is a pretty decent coach, guys. And that Seth Luttrell had a very difficult situation last season. And he says he's excited about the next one. Now, he was talking like we were going to go to a bowl game last year. And we were all like, look, dude, you'll be lucky to even win a half, to tell you the truth. And they got to 5 wins. Went to a bowl game. Competed in that bowl game. Nearly won that bowl game. And so, if you told me, as I was writing up that big season preview, I think I did predict a lot of wins. So maybe what I'm about to say is lies.
I got it written down right here.
Yeah, maybe it's all lies. But if you told me, look, they have a chance to win six wins, and have gone to a bowl game, I'd be like, what? That is an excellent, amazing season. And I know we say this all the time because it's important that we remember it. It's real easy to get used to stuff happening, like wins. You're like, we only, like, you know, in basketball, you're like, we only got 50 wins. We only got to the second round. There's a lot of teams that don't get there. There's a lot of schools, lest we forget our own station in life, that don't get those glories, right? When we went to a bowl game, I remember when we hadn't gone to a bowl game in years, and like, what was it, from 2013 was the first time since 2004?
2005?
Yeah.
2005. Yeah.
Well, no, it was like, was it 2005? Okay. So, like, it was like 8 years, right? It's a lot of years. It's two whole classes, but although in this reality, it's probably just one. One guy probably enrolled in 2005 and then graduated in 2013. You know school nowadays. So you look at that, and then we know. Now we've gone to two bowl games in, what is it, from 3 to 6. It's 3 years, right? Is that right? Don't listen to the words I'm saying, but understand what I'm saying, guys. Do you get me here, Aldo?
Am
I making sense to you over there in your new home?
I'm just staring off into the light. and it was such a big difference. It was a short period of time, but it seemed like worlds apart.
Yeah, because it was two different coaches. Yeah, two different coaches and one awful, terrible, no good, very bad season where we lost to an FCS team. So yeah, that was a break point. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you can now measure North Texas football like before FCS lost and then after FCS lost. And I mean, since that loss, we beat UTSA. We're just 1-1 against UTSA. And we've been to a bowl game. And, you know, we beat Rice at Rice after coming back from down 17. A lot of good things. We feel good generally about our offense, guys coming back. Guyton, everybody's excited about him. Seth Luttrell's excited about him. Half the fan base is excited about the presumed backup quarterback, Cade Pearson. What about you?
Am I excited about Cade Pearson or?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's got some skills that you know, kind of brings some stability to the depth chart, you know? There's still question marks on all of them, obviously. But you know what you have in Quinn Shambor, and you know what you have, for the most part, on Mason Fine.
Wait, what do we have in Quinn Shambor? Because I don't know what we have in Quinn Shambor. We have a spring game All-Star.
2 years running.
That's back to back spring game All-Star, son.
Next year it'll be back to back to back. I mean, whenever I go to practices, he's out there. He's a coach on the field. He's coach for the other players, and he's great with them. You know, coaching them along, telling them what they're doing wrong, how they can improve. But you know, at one point you have to show that. And I've seen the same mistakes the past couple of years. This offseason that he's made in the past, and I think that's what's limiting him. You know, he's not getting past those issues. And guys like Mason Fine throughout his first season was getting past those issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Mason Fine wasn't supposed to play last season, right? Like, are we all on board with that? Like, that was kind of
Right, I didn't want him to play.
Yeah. So, given those circumstances, I mean, like we just said, there was like almost zero offensive line. They weren't built to pass block as much as they were asked to do. The receivers were very thin. The receiving core was very thin. I mean, there were some good players there, but it was very thin. We had some injuries. We had some suspensions. We had question marks all over. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, we gave a lot of reps to guy A, and then we start guy B. And that's just that was just not willy-nilly. Guy A started throwing interceptions right away. Couldn't lead the team right away. So I feel good about Mason Fine going into the fall. If he's a starting quarterback, I'm not going to be upset. Where I couldn't say that every season in the last 10 years. I'm like, I was rooting for the other guy. Or I guess we have no other choice. You know, that was kind of my feeling leading into it. And, I mean, depending on, I guess, your level of hysteria, you also felt that same way. I mean, there's people on the board like, oh my God, I know this guy. He's a great kid. And, you know, we played Scrabble together. Therefore, he should be starting quarterback. I mean, I don't judge my starting quarterbacks on whether or not I know their parents and whether or not they're a great Scrabble player. Whatever.
Well, I do, and I'm offended.
I mean, this, oh. You said.
But, yeah, but this, you make, I mean, you're making a good point. Every year, you know, the past decade or longer, you're always, you know, I want to see the backup quarterback play. That's always been, I mean, I'm guilty of that too. I want to see what the backup, throw the backup quarterback in there. I don't want to see the starting quarterback. Yeah. Whether it's DeJuan Williams, Quinn Shanmore. Yeah.
Spring game all-star. Two-time spring game all-star. If I were Quinn Shanmore, I would introduce myself that way. Two-time spring game all-star, Quinn Shanmore, at your service. I mean, that's, you know, like it, when we're talking about on this podcast, that's not so amazing. But when you're just talking to regular people, that's pretty amazing. I wasn't anybody's spring game all-star, you know what I mean? Neither were you. I'm going to go ahead and out on the limb and say you're not a spring game all-star, Aldo.
That's a fairly good guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. All right. So, like, I'm excited about Mason Fine. And it's we're recording this on June 26th right now. There's lots of time. There's a whole nother month before we actually start sitting down and go, well, 2 months. I'm thinking it's already July. I am going crazy, ladies and gentlemen. Two whole months of jockeying for position for good and bad things to happen up to that point until we decide who's going to, the starter's going to be. And that's really only going to be for that one game. Probably for the first handful of games where we decide this is the guy. Because we have more of a filled out roster. And so we don't need to make decisions based on desperation where we're like, God, you here. Now we need a guy to play offensive line and that's going to be you. Please get in there now. Or we need a guy to play wide receiver, or please go out there and play on your injured leg running back. You know, all decisions that we had to make last season. Hopefully we can, you know, make decisions based on strategy and the long-term well-being of the program. You know, what I'm getting at is maybe we sit Cade Pearson. I'd like to see him sit the whole time as good as he may be. Let's sit him down, watch the game. I know he came in thinking he was going to compete. That's exactly what we want, but I'd like him to compete seriously next season, not this season, not 2017, 2018, but 2018, 2019. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that means the season's going well under, you know, presumably Mason Fine.
Fine Dozer.
That's why Cade Pearson is sitting is because we're winning.
I mean, look, we're not going to win based on Mason Fine. I know a lot of college football now is quarterback-centric. So we really need a great performance by, you know, whoever plays that position. But our strongest groupings are running back, defensive back, and then more defense and offense. And so for the time being, you know, how we do this season is going to be a big function in how well we can run the ball with our best player, you know, right? and how we can defend and get turnovers again. And Mason Fine, at times, he drove the bus. He was a bus driver. You know, he wasn't making amazing plays, but, you know, he was maybe avoiding potholes, maybe. Can we say that? You agree with that?
Yeah, but, I mean, I know what you're saying about, you know, we just have to score more points than the other team, but if you're an air raid team and you're trying to change this culture, you have to get behind the quarterback and trust that he's got the abilities to pass the ball around, whether it's
a
3-yard pass or a 40-yard pass.
The air raid offense, at its core, is a ball control offense. It's find the open guy, get him the ball. It's not sit back there and fire a pass between, you know, right between the linebacker, right over the cornerback, just put it in on the guy's chest from, you know, 35 yards out on a rope. Some guys can play like that. The offense has the ability. It has those openings there. You can do that. Look at what's the kid's name from Texas Tech that got drafted? That's what he did, right? Yeah. He was like, you know what? I have a rocket arm, and I will fall backwards and fire a pass across the field against, you know, like going away, and it will magically get there because I can do that. So that's what they can do. We don't have a guy like that. We have guys that can extend the play, read the defense, and get the ball to playmakers, and that's what we want. And that's what I'm saying about bus driving. There's nothing wrong with being a bus driver in this offense because that's what it requires.
I mean, the bus driver has to be pretty darn good, though, in an air raid offense. To get it to the right guy, you have to be able – because you've got so many things going on. You got the reads, looking at the backside, defensive back, picking or at least identifying where that defensive back is going, because then if you go to the other guy, if we're talking something like the corner routes or something. And then you've got the wheel routes with the running backs, and you just got to be accurate with the ball. And yeah, so yeah, that's my biggest knock on Fine is the accuracy.
Yeah, I think when people say bus driver, you think like, well, it's a knock, right? Everybody's like, just play it safe, get them there. But driving a bus requires a specialized like training. You can't just, like, you and I can't just hop on the bus and drive it. It's not so easy. You, when you're in it, you realize that, hey, this is takes some skill. Yes, you know, like you need to be able to hit dudes. I think Mason Fine is pretty accurate. I think he had a problem with like tunnel vision sometimes, that is really reasonable for a freshman that probably shouldn't have been playing. Again, I was thinking about the UTSA game. I was talking to Seth Luttrell about it. And he was like, yeah, just turnovers. And yeah, I mentioned the freshman thing. He's like, yeah, I mean, he didn't want to start talking about that specific, but he's like, yeah, turnovers. Mason Fine had, what, 3 of them, right? Two interceptions and a fumble, I think it was. Those are the kinds of things you're going to get with the freshman dude. I'm hoping and I'm expecting, really, that he's a lot better next season. I mean, he started a good chunk of games. He's going to have the off season. He's going to be fully recovered. He's going to have fall camp. It's going to be his team, really. I mean, and if we see some of the same mistakes that we saw last time, again, I don't think they were accuracy mistakes. I think they were young guy, game is too fast for you mistakes. You know, then we can talk about Cade Pearson.
Yeah, and also, you know, he's got to make a decision quick. Goes with that tunnel vision, like you were saying. Pass the ball, throw it away, whatever.
Yeah, he was like, is it not open, not open? And then sometimes, the bad times, he would force it. The good times, I guess, he would run with it. And both times, he probably could have stopped, go to the next option. That said, as he got better, he started doing that. I mean, you know, a similar thing could be said about Alec Morris. He was staring at his number one guy early in the season. And by the bowl game, he was a lot better. He was like a lot more comfortable in the pocket, although they didn't really get to him too much. So he had a lot of time to throw, and they were giving him lots of cushion. I mean, what are we saying? We're just kind of talking here, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, football is hard, turns out.
Well, you know, to get back to the point is this team is an air raid team, and we're not there yet because – one, we don't have the playbook completely open yet. We were running the same plays over and over again. I was mentioning on the Go Mean Green boards that, I could identify what play was coming just by looking at the formation, because when they would get in that formation, they were doing one or two plays, which was either, it was a draw play or a screen play. And so teams were picking up on that, and we were getting the surprise element that we had early on in the season was going away towards the end. But now that we're in our second year, I'm confident that, I mean, I'm not going to say hopeful, because that has a negative connotation to it, but I'm confident that the team is opening up more plays, and you're going to see a lot more traditional air raid stuff out there, especially with the we're talking about the depth chart in terms of receivers. We're picking up all these receivers over the off season and the pass catching running backs. So I think we're going to see a lot more passes than we have in a while.
Yeah, I think kind of going off what you're saying there. A lot of times, like air raid, the way they teach it, it's very simple. There's only a handful of plays, and there's some combinations off those things. But yeah, you want to drill those things. You want to be able to run. It's like the pick and roll. Everybody knows the play, but you run it right, it should be unstoppable. At least that's the thinking, right? And you're like, well, it's a simple play, like the guy's at the screen, but there's like all kinds of variations off of it. If they hedge on the screen in basketball, I'm talking about basketball here, in case you got lost, oh listener, then you do something different. If the guy hedges on the screen, then you get the roll man or something. Like, lots of things you do. So if they're overplaying, say your corner routes on a certain play, then you hit them with a corner post, right? You fake the corner and hit the post. Or they're same thing the other way. If they're hedging on the post routes, you get them with a post corner. But that requires time. You need time to let the play develop, to pump fake it, to hit them on the corner route. Those screen plays that you're getting, you fake it, you do the other way. Or, you mix things up. I think one of the problems we had was that we couldn't even run some of the basic plays to, like you said, you can call them out. We couldn't even run anything to really getting them moving. They were defending our stuff with their base defenses. They didn't even need to hedge. They didn't need to do whatever. They were leaving us wide open, essentially, in that basketball thing, right? Go ahead, dude, shoot from there. And if we can't make them pay, then we're like, well, they're leaving their guys in one-on-one coverage, and we couldn't beat them. So then what incentive did they have to double a guy to open it up for somebody else? We were just getting stuck because we couldn't beat a guy in one-on-one coverage. Except towards the end, right? Rico Bussey is out there working to do it in the corner. I mean, you think about Mason Fine trying to get the ball to Tegoree, kind of fluttering out there. Those are the bad plays. Alec Morris, lofting beautiful passes to Bussey is the great play. Like, and so that opens things up. They're like, oh, dang, how are we going to guard Bussey on this side, Jalen Guyton on the other side? So then they got to play differently, and that opens things up to the middle. More likely it's going to be like, all right, well, we're letting them move the ball with Jeff Wilson up and down the field. Let's get some one-on-one coverage on the outside and bring a guy in the box, and we make him pay that way. That's the ideal kind of 1-2 punch, at least in my
Yeah.
eyes.
And we talk about the UTSA game a lot, but I think it's a good example of the season as a whole, where you've got these bad turnovers, but then you've got these stretches of us just moving the ball, running the plays correctly, running these air raid plays, and scoring, or we fumble the ball at the 1 yard line, and that was the epitome of last season.
Yeah, we had good plays, turned the ball over. The good thing about Conference USA is that it's not a monster. They're really good teams, your Western Kentucky, your Middle Tennessee, but those teams mess up a lot, and you always have a chance. Western Kentucky looked way too good for us this season. But just a season before that, Marshall looked too good for us, right? It was the same kind of thing. And there were some Marshall fans on some of the message boards going like, really? You think that Marshall's going to lose to UNT? You're out of your mind, buddy.
I mean,
And
that was me too, I think.
lo and behold, You know, that's what I'm saying. Is that like, so what was the difference between Marshall? The Marshall had like the number one. They had like top two, three recruiting class.
I think the number one recruiting class. Yeah.
Yeah, like they had talent by, you know, the measure that, you know, the beat writer likes to reference. So what happened then? Was it the coaching? They had the same coach. Was it injuries? They were not particularly injured. You know, they had some injuries, but so did we. You know, like, what's the deal? Sometimes that kind of thing happens, and you gotta be ready for it. It's really what it is. That's why I said, like, you know, for this team, we're not so loaded on talent that we could be have a down year and still just out talent our way through everybody. Just, you know, bulldoze people with our just monster talent. But we can put it together with enough coaching and some wins to have a chance to you know, be in the conversation of a conference title every 3 to 4 years. I think that's the realistic goal. When you're judging these guys, I think that's where you go. So first year, this past year, it's probably not a full year that you can judge them on. But in this accelerated modern era of judging your coaches, okay, call it year one. This year, we should see some improvement, even if we don't see improvement in the win-loss column. And then by next year, we can say, all right, that'll be Mason Fine's third year. Cade Pearson's second year, you know, I guess some of the coaching staff will be there around there, you know, for a while. We'll have some pieces in place. We had a couple recruiting classes. Everybody's been in there. Everybody kind of knows the score, knows how things work. So you can say, all right, now you can take advantage. You shouldn't be losing because of the same reasons. It should be different reasons why you're losing. Now, it should be those close losses should be wins. Bad losses should be closer losses or upsets or, you know, that kind of, you should see improvement.
Right. Right. And where I'm going to be looking is going to be the, passing yards, rushing yards, you know, how are we going to improve from this past year? And I expect whoever the quarterback is, if they're starting all season to, you know, pass for over 3,000 yards and double digit touchdowns, which is something we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. Our offense, you know, you're saying sometimes it looked good and we'd hurt ourselves. Not only did we turn the ball over, we committed penalties. There were so many drives that were killed by, you know, suicide, holding, missed assignments on the offensive line, holding the ball too long by the quarterback, bad routes, drop passes, you know, you name it, we did it, literally. So looking for those to improve. You get more talent out there, so then what does that eliminate? If you have better talent at wide receiver, that means the guy's open quicker, right? So that means the ball can come out faster. That means the guy catches it and makes a play. So it's not just a 5-yard gain. It's a 15-yard gain. That means you don't need to grind the ball down the field. You can get 1-2 play scores. You know, so then less room to make mistakes. It means that, you know, the quarterback doesn't have to hold the ball so long. I think I already said that. Might be repeating myself. It makes everybody look better. The offensive line doesn't have to defend, I mean, pass protect for so long. Lots of good things happen. They don't need to hold, you know? All those things. Because
More discipline and, you know, better execution.
Yeah, it's like, wow. Again, you look at, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? You get LeBron out there, and all of a sudden the role players that are just like, these guys can't win anything. Now, all of a sudden, they're role players on a title-winning team. You're like, how'd that happen? Well, you put a really great basketball player there, and now the shot they hit from the corner is not just a, well, now they won 41 games. Now it's a, this is a shot for, you know, in the NBA Finals. It changes everything. Jalen Guyton's not LeBron James, but he's talented. You get more talent on the field, it makes everybody look better, is being my point. This is my profound point there. Mark it down.
You mean like a quarterback or something?
Yeah. I mean, look, we don't have a guy that we can definitely say, like, I don't know if I can say Cade Pearson is markedly better than Mason Fine. Maybe in some areas. Yeah. And so until that point, I'm fine with Mason Fine. I'm okay with Mason Fine.
Yeah, and I don't want to knock Mason Fine. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he was a freshman that got thrown out real quick, who's got a very, what I consider fun, but not a very risky style of play.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine him running around going, Tony Romo, Tony Romo, Tony Romo, what would he do? And which put us behind a lot of situations, like you were saying. So come next year, he's got more discipline, and we're going to be put in a better spot to succeed. Or, you know, Mason Fine's going to help us, you know, help Jeffrey Wilson be in a better spot to go score a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, we agree on that one. So let's quickly go through some other points as we near the hour mark. I think we're just a little bit over the hour mark. God forbid we bore people with more than an hour of our talking. So let's listen to some things that happened. Conference USA is going to take the basketball games, the conference tournament. It's going to be at the Star in Frisco. How did the Star in Frisco become like the home for everything ever? Like, everybody's going there.
Yeah, like, it's great. You got the NFL draft thinking about going there.
Just everybody wants to be there. I mean, you know, that's great, I guess. It's good for us. I think we should expand like that. Instead of saying, let's be, you know, statewide, that's a great place for us to be. It's great that we are partnered with the Dallas Cowboys, that we're sneaking in there. And I know this is not a North Texas thing, but it's Conference USA. And, you know, we can go there. We North Texas fans. We can show out there for those kinds of things. And hopefully, you know, both basketball teams make some noise there and not just first-round exits, because that would be pretty lame.
Right. And not just from the stands.
Yeah, make some noise and win some things. Speaking of, I mean, I wanted to mix in some basketball in here. Grant McGaslin seems like a cool dude. He's won a lot. I feel good about the basketball team, maybe long-term. Again, long-term, relatively speaking, maybe the next two seasons. A lot of changes happening, a lot of roster turnover, as you expect with this kind of change. But he seems fun. He seems, you know what's weird? He's very short. It's weird to have a basketball court that's really short. A basketball coach is really short. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I would be skeptical of his abilities to coach me. I'm like, what are you gonna? What are you talking about down there? You know what I mean, like, have you played? I'm kidding. But yeah, he seems like a cool dude. All that stuff aside, he's an accomplished basketball coach. And you know, Ren Baker, you know, coached some basketball once upon a time. He's hired some winning basketball coaches. So. And he's been a part of some winning basketball programs. So he presumably would apply some of that knowledge to his hire here. Grant McGaslin turned some things around in Arkansas State. They won some games pretty early. It's hard to say anything besides that. Like, well, what's the offense going to look like? I don't know. I don't know exactly. Basketball, you can have a style, especially college basketball, but a lot of it depends on the players, man. And we have, what, the freshman kid that was pretty good, made some noise. But beyond that, we don't even know what this roster is going to look like. So I know you don't really have much to say about that, so I want to ask you, put you on the spot. So we'll move on. What other noise came in? What other things can we talk about before we go? I think, was that about it? Was that all the major news?
It sounds like it.
All right. Well, what else do you have to say before we go, guy? What should we look forward to? I know you do some other stuff, some other podcasts? Running Back Super Time podcast or something?
Right? Yeah, so I contribute to this. The Twitter handle is at the RB Scout. The website is rbscout.com, where we just talk about NFL running backs and as it applies towards dynasty, redraft, and other fantasy sports.
Like, what was the genesis of that, where you guys were like, you know, I like punters. Like, no, not punters. Running backs. Running backs is where it's at.
Back to the drawing board. Oh, so another league member, Adam Spinks, it's been his child for a while, and he finally decided to just put pen to paper instead of just thinking about it, and we all were like, well, yeah, that's a good idea. And so we just sit around and talk about football, and that's what happens. That's all we talk about, just football, and we call it the Dynasty Dads because we're all dads there. We've been playing for about a decade. Yeah, it's just conversations about who we like, who we don't like, and why.
As you were talking about that, I was looking at posting the message board. We really did a good job of upgrading our graphics department. And I know this is another point
Oh,
supporting my original point that we began this podcast with. We really upgraded that. It's a lot of good stuff there. I mean, as a NT alum and the beat writer for Dallas Morning News now, space in his name. I mean, he says the same thing. Like, you have to have you have to have a good social media game to compete out here, because every program is making these backgrounds, these images. You know what I mean? Like these edits, as they call them. You know, with the player's name, random goofy graphics in the background.
team logo, that this and that.
Yeah.
No, it's an improvement, and it's part of those little things that fans have been clamoring for that are finally getting done. It's not this old time attitude of, oh, it's just this flashy stuff. It's more about the substance, not the flashy stuff. Recruits don't care about uniforms, or recruits don't care about locker rooms, or it's football. It's hot outside. You go play outside. Recruits don't need indoor practice facilities. Nobody gets struck by lightning. It's a different attitude, and I appreciate it.
I mean, and I think it's one that can only, again, I'm repeating myself, one that can only come about after you set other things straight. Financial controls, hire somebody to make sure we have enough money to do things, right? To pick up the trash, to cut the grass, to do all this other stuff. And then we can go about, painting the outside of the house. And I feel like this is one of those things there. Once you can organize your financial house, then you can say, okay, do we have enough money to hire a guy to do this thing? To do the graphics. Yeah, we do. What can we pay the guy? This amount here. Let's hire him. Now you can do it. Good job, everybody. So I think I voted for I think the diving eagle on this big flag or something that's going to be out there. So I'm greatly disappointed that everybody chose the UNT battle flag. It's like the green. It looks like somebody turned a filter on the Texas flag, just the green. And that's fine. Whatever.
It's literally the greatest battle flag of all time.
I'm not the biggest fan of it, but I feel like that was a thing, a small thing, that is a good thing. Like, to put it to a vote, it's a flag, because so much bitching is done about things like that among the longtime diehards. And so you kind of satiate everybody by saying, look, we asked everybody, and this is what they gave us, right? They can't just say, oh, just people in the department, and I know him, and he was always going to go with this, and now I hate him. It's not. They say, you know what? Let's put it to a vote. Three choices.
Yeah, and the fact that they reached out to the fan base, as small as it may seem of a gesture, still a pretty big deal to considering what was here before, the previous administration. That it's like, hey, they're listening to us. They're coming on the board and reading it, and then deciding, hey, we did this.
I mean, so like all those things are small parts of this thing that makes me feel good about it. I mean, as I get older and I don't obsess about these kinds of things anymore. Granted, I say this as I'm recording a podcast at 11 p.m. on a weekday, right? I still appreciate all that. I feel like it's good that it's heading in the right direction, and I'm prepared for a long haul. I'm prepared for a 5-year turnaround. We don't need it to be next year. We don't need it to be 2 years from now. But we want it moving in generally the right direction. And I feel that is the case. I'm excited about some things. Who knows? Maybe by this time next year, we're talking about what a great season it was. North Texas with like 9 wins in in the football season, and a surprising run in the basketball season, where we, made a killing at the conference tournament, and we were all there reminiscing. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done with this summer edition of the Mean Green Nation podcast. Let us know how much you loved it and how it was the greatest podcast you heard this week. You put down cereal and you said, Mean Green Nation, that was a podcast for me. let us know by emailing us. Send us an email. Leave a comment. Leave a rating on the thing. I never tell people to do that, but apparently it matters. Whatever. Do what you want. Let us know how much you loved us or hated us, or how you actually weren't really paying attention, but it was on, and it was kind of soothing in the background.
Or if you want to talk about air raid, because I'll talk about that all day.
If you want to argue with Aldo about the air raid, if you want to talk running backs with him and his dad friends, like, man, I made a sippy cut. And, hey, is Adrian Peterson still playing? Because he sure is pretty good. I don't know if that was what happened on the show, but I assume it was.
That's how it goes.
thanks again for listening. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.